What do you think of that song we just sang? You know, it's kind of interesting that we have a lot of songs that talk about being in the garden with Jesus, with God. You'll notice that in the bulletin I've titled this lesson, What is Prayer? How and why do we pray? And you may say, well, that's pretty obvious. We're told to. Yeah. Is that the only reason? We're told in 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning with verse 17, to pray without ceasing. And do we know what that means? Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, beginning with verse 6, that he was ready to be offered. His time had come. So is prayer just for old people? Somebody said to me, well, you just hit 80 years old. I hope you're praying a lot. Well, is that the only time in life that that's significant? In the Old Testament, we have Job and a lot of discussion between Job and his buddies and God about prayer. What's your model for prayer? Is the only model that you have for prayer what Richard just did? What you hear in public assembly? This song, there's a garden, the beautiful garden of prayer. Does that make sense to you? He walks with me and he talks with me. What does that conjure up in your mind? Let me ask you something. Is your prayer life talking with God or to God? Now think about that for a minute. Is your prayer life talking with God or to God? What do you view prayer as being? A one-way ticket for you to unload your problems? Is that the extent of it? I have to tell you that I've had a problem with this. As a matter of fact, there's a guy that I've had a close association with. His name's John Oakes in California. And he and I have been discussing this because one of the things I said to him back about 6 months ago is, I don't think my prayer life's what it ought to be. The next thing I know, I'm on the front page of his bulletin. Not in name, but in struggle. See, communication is a lot more than words, by definition. Communication is a two-way proposition. And if the extent of your prayer life is talking to God and not with God, you're not quite there. I wasn't. And my realization that I needed to talk with God instead of to God has changed my relationship to God. Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 26, the Bible says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. That's good. Got lots of weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for. Yeah. Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I have to say, God, I don't know what to even ask. Tell me what to do. My wife, Phyllis, and I used to have a little thing that we went around with. Why doesn't God send down notes? Because sometimes we have major decisions. I've watched Dane over the past year struggle with decisions. And what you want is a big sign to come down from heaven and say, here's what you ought to do. That isn't the way it works, is it? He goes on and he says, the Spirit itself intercedes with us with groans and words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes with saints or for saints in accordance with God's will. Let me ask you something. Most of us in here have been in love, right? Not all of us. Some of us are still looking forward to that. But When you wanted to communicate your deepest desires to that person that you love, how did you do it? Did you just talk? Do you remember looking into the eyes of the person you love and having a lot of communication coming from body language? What their eyes said to you? This little deacon, he has the oddest stare. When he's serious with you and you look into his eyes, those black eyes just drill right through you. And you know, it's such a rewarding thing. I still choke up at thinking they're going to leave us. You know, I'm going to miss him. I'm not going to miss Dane or Moke, but no, that's not true either. That's not true either. But prayer is not just about talking. Prayer is feeling. Prayer is receiving the message. The Holy Spirit is involved in prayer. It expresses our deepest feelings to God. That's what that passage I just read to you said. We need to stop talking as our only communication method with God. The Bible says, Psalms 46 and verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." How many times do you be still and know? You know, for the longest time, my prayer life was talking to God. I'd be going down the highway talking to God, telling him what's wrong. Telling him my frustrations. Telling him where I ached. But see, the Bible also talks about meditation. You know, we sort of seem to think meditation is a Hindu thing. But the Bible talks about meditation, and we are called to meditate. And I want to try and get that concept in your head this morning. You need to include meditation in your prayer life. In Psalms 119, verse 27, David says, "I will meditate on your wonders." When was the last time you just went outside and looked at the sky? When was the last time you looked at your flower bed? Hey, right now, go out there and look. The daffodils are sticking their heads up. I think they're saying, "Where'd all this water come from?" But have you meditated on that? Have you looked at your own body and your feelings? And, you know, we get up here and we talk. Richard talked for 15 minutes this morning about all things wrong with us. And those are important. We got to pray for each other. We got to support each other. But there's a whole lot of us that are feeling a lot better than there are of us who are not feeling very good. And some of them have made incredible progress. Not only wearing boots, but glad to see you here. See, the important thing to understand here is that meditation is part of what we should be doing. And in your prayer life, if there isn't time for meditation, you're missing some stuff, folks. You're missing some things. Sometimes I just meditate, how can God love me? How can God care about me? Look at me. And it's not just the bald, fat, and ugly stuff. It's also the things that I'm not doing that I should be doing. My weaknesses. How I'm not treating Cindy right. How I'm not treating people in my family right. And how blessed I am to have Cindy and Moke and Dean, Deacon and Dane. See, that's meditation. Psalm 77, verse 9, "I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds." How do we get where we are? What a blessing to see this lady that's walking out here bringing the newness of life. She's got her bump, okay? That's a wonderful thing. It's an encouraging thing. I've prayed about that. I've thought about that. What a great thing it is. So we're going to have a Benjamin and a and a Benji or something running around here for long. What a blessing. Still don't know what sex is going to be, right? So Benjamin does, but they don't. You know, Chronicles gives us an example of this. 1 Chronicles 29, beginning with verse 10. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted as head above all. That's meditation. Seeing what living things can do. Look at that little dog and the things that dog can do. Look at the birds that are flying around. Before long, we're going to see them coming in from the south. Don't you love spring? Spend some time outside listening to the geese. Spend some time exalting God. He goes on and he says, both riches and honor come from you. You reign over all. And in your hand is power and might. And in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. Time spent. And you know, Jesus teaches us about prayer. You know, it's interesting in Luke 11, verses 1 through 4, and again in Matthew 6, and verse 9 through 13, we have the Lord's Prayer. What's interesting about that is that Jesus' disciples come to him, and they say, Jesus, teach us how to pray. You ever thought about that? These are adult men who have been Jews from birth. Don't they know how to pray? These are guys that have participated in the activities of their childhood. They probably were the singers of the opening part of their bar mitzvah. They knew how to pray, at least by our standards. Why would they say to Jesus, teach us how to pray? Good grief, man, you've been doing this for years. You're not a kid. And Jesus brings three things to their attention, and therefore to ours. The first thing he says to them is, well, you need to start out by giving glory to God. Well, we just read that. Spend some time just giving some glory to God. Look for the good things. You know, our prayer life sometimes can become so negative, all we do is think about what's wrong. There needs to be some time thinking about what's right. Hey, I can stand without any support right now. Now, get me in a chair and getting up, that's another matter, but I need to be thankful for the good things. We're going to have a potluck in a few minutes, and we got the best cooks in the world back here. Be thankful that there's good food. Be thankful you can eat it. Be thankful you can swallow. Not everybody can. Stop and count your blessings. The second thing he says is pray so our hearts and desires can become aligned with God's will for our own lives and for the world as a whole. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hey, we regurgitate that really well. Do we know what it means? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are we saying? We're saying, God, help me align myself with you. Help me understand how I can be your child. Our atheist friends that we had our sermon on last Sunday, they got a big full-page ad again today. It's all coming from Ingersoll, the famous atheist. And every one of his concepts is a negative. Because atheism is negative. There's no concept of the beauty around us. Before long, the grass is going to be growing. Going to be green. We're going to be talking to Shane about mowing the grass again. Won't that be wonderful? Lena's roses will start blooming out here. Spend some time in the good things. John, 1 John 5, verse 14 says, tell us anything we ask that is accord with his will and we will receive. We need to align our will with God. And the contrast to that is what James talks about in James, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 2. He says, you know, you guys got all this prayer activity. You pray and you don't get. Why? Because you ask things to consume it yourself. Because of your selfishness. You fight and you squabble and you, oh man, look around. See, our prayer life gets inhibited when we have this constant negative obsession with what's wrong. And Jesus says, bring your life in line with me. Learn to live as I've called you to live, and you're going to be happier. You're going to be more confident. And the third thing Jesus says in that famous prayer, lay bare your life. Verse 11 of Matthew 6, give us this day our daily bread. That's good. That's good. We need to thank God that we have enough to eat. Give us this day our daily bread. That's one of the things that should be a part of us. It's kind of interesting. That, you know, in our house over the last 2 months or so, Deacon is leading our prayer. And this 2.5-year-old has got it nailed. You know, he always thanks God for our family. He thanks God for specific things that are a part of his makeup. He lays bare his life. And his favorite part of the prayer, amen. Let it be. It's kind of interesting to see a child understand that prayer is a way of bringing yourself in line with God. Lame, bear your life. The last part of that passage with the Lord's Prayer is in verse 12, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who sin against us. And then he says, and do not let us be put to the test. You ever thought about that last part? That very last thing Jesus says in that prayer? Do not let us be put to the test. Lord, I don't want to suffer. Lord, I don't want to die. There's nothing wrong with asking that. What did Jesus do? Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. There's nothing wrong with that. We need to lay bare our lives. That's the model Jesus gives. Three things. And God sometimes speaks back, like in this case, in verse 14, he says, but remember, your forgiveness is going to be based upon how you forgive. Uh-oh, I didn't want to hear that. So see, God speaks back to us. So how do I need to change what I'm doing in my prayer life? What am I still working on? Well, first thing is spend some time giving glory to God. The creation, your family, your body, where you are in life. Look at Job and his friends. Stop and think. And use the props that are available to you. Let me tell you what happened to me. Now, this is just me, okay? There's a website. It's, I can give it to you. It's called APOD, APOD, NASA.gov. NASA puts on every day a new picture from a major telescope. One day it's a galaxy. One day it's an eclipse. One day it's something on the moon. One day it's Mars. One day it's Jupiter. The very first thing I do when I get up in the morning, very first thing, click on the computer, go to that website and see what they got for me today. And then sit there and look at that beautiful thing that God created. And to meditate on how special it is for me to be created, for me to be heard by a God that can create that. I mean, that thing may be 2 billion light years out in space, and God cares about me? See, I have tools that can meditate, can allow me to sit back, and I don't have to sit there and talk to God. I need to let God listen to me. I don't watch much television. But every time I get the television on, I go to channel 251. You know what that is? It's a channel that they have, most of it's National Geographic. It has a discussion of an ecosystem someplace in the world. One day they're showing us things in Africa. One day they're showing us polar bears. One day they're showing us animals that live on the bottom of the ocean. And why do I like to watch that? Because I love to see what God's created and how special it is. That's meditating. Don't let your time in prayer just be constant yakking at God. Listen to God. And His creation speaks to us. A few minutes ago, I just happened to think, wow, look, sunshine. Yeah, how many times have we seen that in the last 2 weeks? See, I could be worrying about the water in my basement, because I got plenty of that. But to be able to thank God for the sun. And the fact it's getting warmer, folks. It wasn't 10 below this morning, was it? Getting warmer. Be thankful to God. Spend some time in meditation. And talk to your God about aligning your will to His will. That involves thanking God for your health. Thanking God for your ministry. You say, I don't have one. Oh, yeah, you do. You just haven't found it yet. Ask God's help. And your ministry may grow. It may change. New things happen all the time. You know, I've been amazed at Shane and his family and how they have adopted special ministries here in the short time they've been with us. How many good things have happened. And I could go down through this congregation and talk about everyone and Cynthia and all the stuff she does. We don't hear a lot of special things about that. Thankful for Bill, for Richard, for Carl, for the leadership they provide, the things they take care of. You know, we take it for granted that we can come in here and we're not facing problems with the structure. Ministry. Thank God for this congregation. One of the things I've said to Dane is I hope when he gets to Cleveland he can find a group like this that can support him and help him, and when they're all sick and throwing up, somebody will come in and take care of them. Some of you remember I was in Texas. I think it was our first wedding anniversary. Cindy had had some surgery. There's nobody in the house. She's running at all ends, literally. So who comes and helps her? She called Patty. And Patty comes in and spends a whole night with vomit and diarrhea. And let me tell you something, folks. That doesn't happen with the world. And my wife's probably going to get after me for telling this story. But I think it's important to understand. That's what this is about. You got a problem? Willard's got a leaky roof. He may have a son-in-law can fix it. But you know what's going to happen? If the son-in-law backs out of it or can't do it, guess who's going to be there? It's going to be his church family here that's going to fix that thing. Thank God for a congregation. And so many of our congregations just sit around and fuss at each other. They don't get out there and do something. And that's not the way this group is. Thank God that we have this congregation. Ask God to help you find ministry. Ask God to help you remove an obstacle that's interfering with your ministry. Thank God for all the good things He gives you the privilege to do. Stop and think about what is interfering. And let the Holy Spirit help us. I think we got to watch the time. So I was going to have Bill sing a couple of songs. One of the songs I thought we might want to sing is Be Still and Know There's a God. There's a song with that title in our book. There's a song that talks about thank God for your many blessings. We've all sung that song. We know that song. One of my favorite songs, not in our book, is a song called Through It All. Through it all, I've learned to believe in Jesus. Through it all, I've learned to trust in God. See, one of the things you can do in your prayer life is if you've got a song that expresses the way you feel, sing it. You're praying? Stop. Sing it. You're driving down the highway? Sing it. That's prayer. That's part of meditation. And I've got a couple of songs. That Through It All song, just one of my backbone songs. You have favorite songs, use them. Let the Holy Spirit help us. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not worry about anything. Yeah. How's that shoe fit? Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And we want to let our requests be made known to God. But the first part of that says, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. let your prayer life not be one-dimensional. When we have a public prayer, it has to be the way it is, because we've got a large number of people with all kinds of different things that are not common. So our public prayers are generally pretty much common. But this passage goes on and says, the peace of God, which is deeper than all knowledge, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Try to change your prayer life. Try to improve it. The main thing is take some time. And I've made some suggestions here. They may not work for you. Find what does work for you. But spend some time not just talking, but letting God communicate to you through the creation. If you have to go someplace that's quiet and still, go there. If you have to be in a special place, a special situation to enable you to just get away from it, get away from it. Sandy and I are heading south for a few days after we get Dane and his crew in their place. Why are we doing that? Well, one thing, because we got a free ride. The other reason is we need to get away. That's part of our meditation. And I would encourage you to do the same. You know, we're not spending any money. Cindy has, she puts us through these interrogations with these companies that want to sell you a timeshare. I don't like it. She knows I don't like it. But I have to admit, being away for a few days without having to pay for it sounds pretty good right now. And I don't think there'll be 3 feet of snow in Florida. Okay? Get away. That's part of prayer. Interesting enough, Bill picked the song, our invitation song number 730. What a friend we have in Jesus. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, then prayer is pretty much an exercise in futility. There are still some good stuff. And there are even some atheists that recommend meditation. But they don't know the God who makes the meditation meaningful, and that created you and loves you and wants you to be a part of his kingdom. If you're in any way subject to his invitation, we invite you to come and express that. As together we stand and sing to encourage you, won't you please come?